And Alabamians finally vote today for their next senator, choosing between the former Republican Judge Roy Moore, known for refusing to remove a Ten Commandments plaque before he was recently accused of sexual misconduct with teenagers when he was in his 30s, and Doug Jones, known for prosecuting two KKK members decades after the Birmingham church bombings, now suddenly the first Democrat with the chance to win a higher office in Alabama in 20 years. It's also a day when President Trump is criticizing women who have accused him of unwanted sexual advances. And he's also making insinuations about a New York congresswoman. Mara Liasson is NPR national political correspondent. And Mara, as you know, Roy Moore arrived on horseback to vote today. CNN missed the shot because there was so much media there. They couldn't even get to him. What are you watching for today in Alabama?
What I'm watching for is to see if Doug Jones, the Democrat, can beat the very daunting odds against a Democrat, just structurally and mathematically. I mean, can Doug Jones make African-American turnout so high that they're 25% of the electorate tonight? That's something that has rarely ever been done. Can he get a third of the white vote? That's what a Democrat needs to win in Alabama. Barack Obama only got 15% of the white vote in 2012. And can Doug Jones get enough crossover Republicans? It's not enough for him to win, to get Republicans to stay home or to send in a write-in vote. He needs Republicans to actually cross over and vote for a pro-choice Democrat, and that is hard in Alabama.
Well, that's what we've been hearing, that the one issue that seems to be immutable here is abortion for many of these voters. And so they are unable to perhaps cross over, even if they are not for Roy Moore. But Doug Jones voted at 8:30 this morning at Brookwood Baptist Church in Mountain Brook and cited his prosecution of the Birmingham church bombers, you know, those little girls who were killed in the church bombing in the 60s. He prosecuted the bombers decades later as a way of, you know, pointing to his alliance with the African-American community. But Roy Moore has Steve Bannon. He spoke last night. He criticized mainstream Republicans who refused to back Roy Moore. Let's listen.
There's a special place in hell for Republicans who should know better.
And Mara Bannon, they're clearly referring to first daughter Ivanka Trump, who commented about Moore that there's a special place in hell for people who prey on children. What do you make of that?
Well, there's a war inside the Republican Party here, and right now the president is winning, and the president has thrown in his lot in with Steve Bannon. Remember, he was on the opposite side during the primary when Bannon supported Moore, and Trump decided to follow the suggestions of mainstream establishment Republicans and go for the sitting incumbent Senator Luther Strange, who lost that primary to Moore. But I think there is still a split in the party. The RNC and the president, Steve Bannon, all in for Roy Moore, and other people, Ivanka Trump had that quote, so did Mark Short, who's the legislative director at the White House, and there are several Republican senators who say that they would vote to expel Moore, and notably, the Republican Senate campaign committee, led by Cory Gardner from Colorado, is not supporting Moore, and they never have budged on that. So I think the Moore story is not over. The stakes are high for Republicans, no matter what happens. It's kind of tails, you win, heads, I lose. In other words, if Moore wins, they're going to have to deal with all the repercussions of having an accused child molester in their conference in the Senate. If he loses, that will be a tremendous blow to the president.
Yeah. What about the president's tweets today? First, hitting back at his accusers. That's probably not surprising. These are the women who came forward again yesterday. He says, I don't know them. I've never met them. But he also tweeted about New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, who demanded Trump's resignation yesterday. The president wrote that she is someone who would come to my office begging for campaign contributions not so long ago and would do anything for them.
That was pretty amazing. And of course, Kirsten Gillibrand responded. She called that a sexist smear. Elizabeth Warren went so far as to call it slut shaming. And although somebody will have to explain to me exactly why that is. But the Democrats believe this is a good issue for them. Gillibrand said the president is trying to silence me. In terms of fact-checking that tweet, apparently Gillibrand did meet with Trump once in 2010, but Ivanka was there. And the other thing that I thought was interesting about the president's tweet is he's so worked up about this, he went on to say she's now in the ring fighting against Trump. Whoa, that kind of elevates her. And I think think that that's what his tweets do, whether it's LeVar Ball or Kirsten Gillibrand. He elevates his opponents.
Yeah.
But fighting for his life and for his political legitimacy is kind of built into his DNA. It's what he gets up every morning and tweets about. And conflict is his MO, and making it as dramatic as possible. I don't know exactly where this one goes, other than to give Gillibrand a higher profile.
Well, one wonders what is going on with his agenda. The tax plan he wants by Christmas, all of these other things that are supposed to be going on. We will get to that at another day. Mara Liasson, national political correspondent for NPR. Thank you.
Thank you.